Thanks for tuning in to Mysteries of the Mind, a podcast revealing the way our unconscious minds shape our lives. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Bader.
Today, I want to talk about the power of the unconscious mind. And even though it's not that time of year, I'll introduce the subject by talking about why New Year's resolutions don't work. Oh, you know, I suppose there are some people who are able to use the occasion to alter something in their lives, but generally they, or we, don't change simply because we resolve to do so. If change were simply a matter of choice, conscious choice, that wouldn't be true. But it is. In fact, if people really came to terms with the fact that change isn't primarily the result of conscious intentions, well, they'd have to radically change how they view themselves and others. The reason that New Year's resolutions don't work is that we have unconscious resolutions not to change. For every conscious resolution to lose weight, stop drinking, save money, call your mom more often, control your temper, or finish that project, there are unconscious commitments to keep things exactly the way they are. But if we accept that, then we'd have to accept the pervasive power of the unconscious mind in our everyday lives, in both health and illness. This is a perspective that, unfortunately, runs counter to prevailing cultural norms that have rejected, you know, psychoanalytic ideas, that it's idealized biology, and it holds on to destructive American ideals of personal and moral responsibility. Here's the real story behind the well-documented failure of New Year's resolutions. We don't develop self-destructive behaviors, habits, because we're weak or because, quote, they just became a habit, or because everyone around us was doing them, or because of our neurobiology or heredity. The meaning of these behaviors is instead unconscious. And we develop them because they serve unconscious beliefs and needs. And these beliefs and needs are important building blocks of our identities. They provide a sense of safety. And changing them is unconsciously experienced as dangerous. For example, my patient Sheila was a binge eater who gained and lost hundreds upon hundreds of pounds, went on and failed at dozens of diets, made untold New Year's resolutions on New Year's Day that were abandoned a month later. Growing up, Sheila felt lonely and disconnected. Eating gave her momentary relief from feelings that were too painful to tolerate for very long. Giving up binging meant facing these painful states, and she believed that the consequences of doing so, of facing these feelings, would be emotionally catastrophic. See, this entire sequence of being lonely, then binging, getting momentary relief, as well as her belief that she couldn't tolerate becoming too mindful of her eating and why she was doing it, this was all outside her conscious awareness most of the time. But it was an awareness that instead relentlessly drove her to one unsuccessful diet after another. There isn't a psychotherapist alive who hasn't seen this pattern. My patient Bob, well, he was a procrastinator who couldn't seem to write the thesis necessary for him to graduate college. He made repeated vows to get more organized and more focused, but he couldn't seem to do it. He tried treating his problem with stimulants, hypnosis, and even behavioral conditioning, but to no avail. He thought of himself instead as a sort of a lazy fuck-up, and saw no reason why he couldn't just use his willpower to resolve to change. But it turned out, see, it wasn't a matter of willpower. There were reasons, but these reasons were unconscious. At a level quite outside his awareness, Bob was afraid that if he gave up the procrastinator role, however painful this role was for him, but it was a role he knew, the resulting success and independence, which, you know, he'd say he wanted more than anything, well, then that resulting success and independence would feel unfamiliar. And here's the key. It would make him nervous. It would feel frightening. But see, that's how the unconscious mind works. If you told Bob that he was afraid of success, he'd say you were crazy. But that would be Bob's rational, conscious mind speaking. But from the point of view of Bob's unconscious mind, it was quite understandable. See, Bob had grown up experiencing his parents as frustrated and disappointed in their own lives. Bob developed the belief, the unconscious belief, that if he were successful and independent, he'd hurt his parents or he'd leave them behind. And I'm here to tell you that this belief, this unconscious belief, is not so rare. Children develop these beliefs, you know, growing up by making inferences about their environment. The inferences may be irrational and even wrong, but they just seem normal, like they're the way reality is and the way reality is supposed to be. And these inferences, they live on in the backgrounds of our minds. They become unconscious. So Bob was afraid then, on an unconscious level, of fulfilling his New Year's resolutions. The examples are endless because, you see, the vicissitudes of the unconscious mind are endless. And yet most of us can't accept that we even have an unconscious mind, much less that it plays such a profound role in thwarting our highest aims. Perhaps, as Freud said, accepting that would be a blow to our narcissism, the belief that we're in control of everything. Or maybe it undermines our sense of moral agency and responsibility. You know, you're supposed to take responsibility for your own suffering, not blame your parents, not blame something outside your conscious control or awareness. Perhaps we're afraid that if we do believe in it, the unconscious mind, explore it and try to understand it, that our worst fears about ourselves will be confirmed, that we'll find things we don't like. Whatever the reasons, we live in a culture that's increasingly of the view that unconscious conflict is sort of like a laugh line from a Woody Allen movie. Neurobiology is king. See, at best we meditate, and at worst we medicate. I can't tell you how many times I've been in conversations with people who believe that they have a conscious choice over everything in their lives, that if they just had the willpower, they could change any and all of the conditions in their lives that are screwing them up, that are getting in their way. But they don't have such freedom, unfortunately, because what's holding them back is not conscious, and therefore not available to them to change. Look, the alternative doesn't have to be 10 years of psychoanalysis, but it does have to start with a compassionate curiosity about the real forces that motivate our development, and more important, the real forces that inhibit and resist our development. We do things that are harmful to ourselves and others because it's safer to do so than to face the unknown that's threatening to us for reasons that are also unconscious. But by denying the unconscious mind, we're truly losing our minds.
Thanks for listening to Mysteries of the Mind podcast. To learn more about how your unconscious mind really works, please tune in next time. And be sure to visit Dr. Bader's website at michaelbader.com.